land of ours is under attack. Time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just gonna wait and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land. From sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second hour on this Friday, July 19th, 2024 edition of Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Got a text message I'm posting on social media, putting JoshSaulForCongress.com on all of Jack Bergman's posts. Yeah, I'm sure Congressman Bergman will appreciate you doing that on his Facebook post, referring people to JoshSaulForCongress.com. That is funny. Greatly appreciate you guys doing that. That'll be driving his communications director, James Hogue, crazy, probably deleting him off of Bergman's post, but let's have some fun. Let's make him earn it. But I got to tell you, a lot of people I'm talking to in the first congressional district, they're just fed up with incumbents. That is kind of the word that I'm hearing. These non-patriot incumbents that won't even show up for debates. Then why vote for them? It's that simple. Parker Fairburn wouldn't show up to debate Neil Friske. Cam Cavett wouldn't show up to debate Todd Smollenberg. Ken Borton wouldn't show up to debate Christian Marcus. So if you live in the 105th, 106th, 107th, whoever shows up at the debate, that's who you vote for. Josh Saul was there. Bergman was nowhere to be found. And I got to tell you, it was very draining to have to prep for questions coming from county chairs. First Congressional District Chair Dare Rendon, not knowing what the questions were going to be. So I had to study everything. Their voting record, their actual voting record in Lansing, Washington, D.C., bill sponsorships, committee assignments, campaign finance reports. I mean, it was brutal. And to stay up there on the stage for the entire 4 hours, I mean, we took a couple breaks, thank God, stretch our legs before we started the next debate. But I got to tell you, my voice is still recovering. But that's okay. That's okay. Because that was our first debate. We learned a couple of things. Do not plan a debate during Alpenfest. That's number one. Number two, probably a smaller venue. We didn't need the Ellison Place. It was a great venue. Diane did a great job. The staff did a great job. I want to thank Kevin Johnson of Johnson Propane. for giving us the opportunity to afford the Ellison Place. It was a great venue. It was a great, absolutely fantastic setup. Appreciate the sound system, everything they did for us. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Diane. If you guys are ever in a need of a big venue, convention center, a wedding, whatever, they are awesome. Cannot say enough about the Ellison Place. Great folks, great people, great venue, absolutely 100% five-star rating on the Ellison Place. They did a phenomenal job setting us up, and we want to thank them for that. Too bad the incumbents and a challenger did not have the courage to show up and take questions from county chairs and Dare Rendon, 1st Congressional District. We'll see how that turns out for him on Election Day, August 6th. Short break. We'll be right back.
I'm Dr. Sherry O'Donnell, running for U.S. Senate. As a missionary physician who's traveled the world, I've seen refugee crisis. Our open borders are causing a national refugee crisis. The failed Biden administration is paying illegal immigrants to enter our country and bring disease, terrorism, trafficking, inflation, and crime. As your next U.S. Senator, I have the international experience to close our borders and secure our homeland. I'm Dr. Sherry O'Donnell and am prepared to close the floodgates. Paid for by Dr. Sherry for Senate.
Are you tired of governments invading your online privacy? Introducing Legendary VPN Services. With our VPN, you can browse the internet with confidence, knowing your personal information is shielded from prying eyes. Say goodbye to hackers and corporate thieves. Our cutting-edge encryption ensures your browsing history remains confidential even on public Wi-Fi. Protect your privacy today with our reliable and lightning-fast Legendary VPN service. Visit legendarysystems.net or call 231-818-8349. Your privacy is our priority.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
I'm Janice Delahaye, your Tuscarora Township Treasurer. Our team has found and fixed dozens of problems in our general ledger, payroll, tax, and utility billing systems. But we're not done. 40 years of experience as a controller, CFO, and business owner prepared me for this work. Our township needs it. Our taxpayers deserve it. Vote to retain Janice Delahaye Treasurer in the Republican primary on August 6th. Paid for by the committee to elect Janice Delahaye.
Epoxy Pro, a veteran-owned company serving Michigan, Wisconsin, and Illinois for over 38 years. Epoxy Pro provides one-and-done forever floors that are maintenance-free and easy to clean. Preserve, protect, and even restore your concrete floors today. Check us out online at epoxypro.com or call us at 877-703-7699. Epoxy Pro, your floors today. Call us at 877-703-7699.
Aurora Township Supervisor. We've made a lot of progress in the past 2 years, improving transparency, facilities, and infrastructure. That's why I personally endorse Janice Delahaye to continue as treasurer and Tyler Gorrell as trustee. Both have pledged to continue transforming township government without new taxes. On August 6th, vote to retain Janice Delahaye treasurer and elect Tyler Gorrell as trustee. I'm Bob Kramer, and I paid for this message.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second segment, hour number two on this Friday. Joining us on the line right now is the current treasurer of Tuscarora Township. Janice Dillahay is on the line. Good morning, Janice.
Good morning, Randy. How are you?
I'm good, good, good. Hey, I wanted to ask you, because I want everybody to understand this. You run your businesses. You have many things going with your regular job, your regular work. In addition to being the treasurer there in Tuscarora Township, are you able to at all be able to get out there and knock on doors and talk to the voters of Tuscarora Township?
I have people on my team who are willing to do that and have volunteered graciously to spend their time knocking on doors. I have not done that yet this campaign season.
Yeah, I understand. You're a busy lady and it's tough to do it. One of the things I did want to talk to you about, I had Tyler Gorel on. He's running for trustee. And Janet Vance, the day before, she, as an outgoing trustee, very concerned about the four sewer projects. I believe, is it $16 million is the total cost of those four sewer projects?
It's pretty close to that, yes, as far as we know today.
Right. Now, one of her concerns was who was going to be elected as trustee or supervisor, you know, clerk, whoever, that could have the real-world experience to be liaison between the board and the contractors that are actually going to be doing the work. And Tyler explained his business background, building and excavating and, you know, putting in septic tanks and understanding construction. I said, man, it sounds like he'd be a perfect candidate to be that liaison, because Janet was really concerned project manager coordinator liaison has to report to the board. You guys have to file certain reports in accordance to the grants and the loans. Who actually does that filing of those reports? Is that you as the treasurer? Is that the clerk? Is that the supervisor? Who has that responsibility?
Well, it starts with the engineering firm that we hired. Some of it comes from the treasurer's office. We had the closing for the funding from the USDA. It is
yes.
Clear that they have very exacting standards, and the treasurer, when that money comes in, has to get that money dispersed back out to the people who are due those funds as the project happens. I think Tyler would be a great asset to the community because of his background, and it doesn't hurt that he's a young guy.
Right, right. Well, and has the energy to get out there with probably some mud boots on and get out in the hole and look at things and be able to take pictures and report back to the board. I've been involved in sewer projects, wetland mitigation, developing a subdivision, and I'm very familiar with that whole process. Now, one of the things that's kind of interesting on that point, too, though, you mentioned the funds coming in and then the funds being dispersed, waiver of liens being signed by these contractors as they do things. I mean, it's a lot of work, a lot of bookkeeping when that type of money starts coming in and needs to be paid out.
Absolutely. You need to make sure it happens quickly. You need to make sure that it's headed to the right people and that you get the funds there. Some of it's a physical check. Some of it's sending funds electronically. Not
right.
Super complicated, but I've done this. I've sent multi-million dollar wires in the past, and it can be a little bit nerve-wracking, but I'm sort of over it at this point in my career.
The commas and the zeros really don't affect you anymore.
Right.
It's just numbers. It's just numbers. One of the other things I think is kind of interesting, and I had a lot of people respond to when Bob Kramer was on talking about this 501c4 dark money coming out of southeastern Michigan. Edward Serpolis, a very liberal, communist, progressive guy. I've met him. Him and I have gone head-to-head a couple times at other events downstate. Are you hearing any more information about this entity, or are you getting feedback from your volunteers as they're out there knocking doors? Is anybody responding, getting information back to you guys as to who these people really are and why they're doing it?
I don't have any information on that issue that I can substantiate.
Mm-hmm.
I have some guesses. We have a former clerk who was appointed who cost the township over $20,000 and cost me about 100 hours worth of time fixing payroll so that our employees could be taken care of. And she's been very vocal about the priorities that I've set. I suspect that the person running for supervisor read a statement from her that contains some blatant misstatements of fact. And she and you know, we've sort of had a couple of Facebook conversations where she continues to state things that are absolutely not true. In the, I think in the hope that if she says it often enough, that people will believe her. But, you know, she lied about the workers' comp audit on multiple occasions in a public meeting. She set up a credit card for the township, but it didn't have the township's tax ID number on it, and it was being sent to another member of the board to their personal home. And then when Jay took over as clerk, you know, she wanted to have that gotcha moment that the credit card wasn't being taken care of. Well, you know, that's nice to say as a gotcha, but what responsibility do you take for setting Jay up? And this is the sort of thing that this group has been famous for. They withhold information so that they can make you look bad, and then they come back around and you know, do the gotcha moment because it gets them attention, and I don't know what else. But, you know, this is not how the taxpayers expect their township to be run. And as an example of, you know, if you look at the rubric from the MTA about what you need to be as a need the skills you need to have as a treasurer is, you know, you've got to understand leadership and ethics and administration and processes and the township law, and you have to be able to communicate. And, you know, my opponent, you know, I'm sure she's a very nice person. I don't know her at all. But if you don't love accounting, you shouldn't be in this position. And if you love accounting, it's not hard to find an accounting job. And she hasn't been doing accounting for the 13 years that she's worked in the gift shop. And there's no way that you get exposed to the risk management, to reading the bond covenants, to all of the other things that are going to be required in the next term as we get these sewer projects up and running to help make that happen. And I'm not sure that the taxpayers want to use their vote to put someone in office who's going to have to spend a lot of time getting up to speed.
Yeah, on the job training kind of thing.
Yeah, and you know, it was painful for me because the former treasurer walked out without leaving any documentation and gave me a whopping 2 hours of cross training. But I have, you know, decades of experience, you know, teaching high school and college basic accounting does not prepare you for government fund accounting. Just
absolutely
doesn't
do it. One last question I want to ask you on that point. There were things that you found when you came into office that you had to clean up. And a lot of people keep asking me, well, we hear this commercial running by Janice and Bob Kramer, and we're not really sure we fully understand what was the situation they took over when they basically got elected, appointed, and stepped into their positions. Can you explain just a little bit about what you found there in the treasurer's office specifically?
So in the treasurer's office, the first issue was that all of the email, substantially all of the email that existed before the day that the treasurer resigned, was wiped off the computer and wiped out of our email account. So there's, you know, I have people asking me questions, following up on emails that they had sent previously, and I don't have that history. The lack of documentation, had the county not been so willing to help us with information on how to get the first tax billing in last June done, I would have likely not gotten them out on time. But because they stepped up, we did that. And in my conversation with the Treasury department in the county over the last year, you know, the treasurer there has said, well, I would never leave an office like that. It's totally unprofessional. So, you know, it's just amazing to me that people who had the ability to set up something reasonable for their successor, chose to use their personal animosity toward change as an opportunity to basically, you know, set me up for failure and to not be able to provide the services to the taxpayers that they pay for. The taxpayers don't care about these petty little disagreements that people have. If you don't want to do the job and you're resigning, your next objective has to be to set it up for the person who's taking your place. And that's why I've spent so much time just documenting processes so that, you know, if something were to happen to me, if somebody else needed to step in for whatever reason, that they would have a decent chance of getting the job done correctly. But, you know, and then there's just all kinds of accounting stuff that was crazy. Like, there are $100,000 in the cash over and short account. And, you know, now we've got to figure out what that really is, how to move it on the trial balance so that when we publish financial statements, that people can rely on those numbers and make good decisions.
One of the things I think is also important for people to understand, this office now, along with the clerk and supervisor, trustee, you guys actually have policy and procedure manuals that you've come up with that will basically help succession, new elected people coming in, obviously this election, that's all in place. And as long as they don't screw it up, they'll actually understand the function, the role, and what's expected of them for these elected offices.
Well, and absolutely, Randy, and we still have to take the time to get people that information ingrained in the processes and get people trained to those processes. You know, one of my concerns recently is that I'm already hearing the pushback on, well, we don't have to do that anymore. You know, we don't need to go through those steps because, you know, with the implication that there's an election coming in November that protects and these processes protect the taxpayer, but I don't like them, so we're not going to follow them. And I've heard that already.
That they're not going to follow what you guys have worked so hard to put in place.
Well, and frankly, these are processes that we've been telling the auditors that we follow. And we've been telling them that for decades, even though the processes didn't exist beyond that management representation statement that the auditors get. And, you know, Bob at one point had to nearly sue the former clerk in order to get access to payroll. But we've always told the auditors that the board approves all of the payroll for every pay run. Well, how is that possible if the clerk won't let the people on the board see it? You know, well, it's sitting in my office. Well, in your office is not the same as being able to document that there was a discussion under public purview about payroll. So, you know, that's the culture that used to exist. You used to see financial statements twice a year, once when the auditors published them and once at the end of the year when we were building the budget for the subsequent year. And beyond that, if you wanted financial information, the treasurer brought out two balances on a piece of adding machine tape that said, here's what's in cash for the pool to pay all of the bills, and here's what's in tax. Well, there are over a dozen bank accounts. What about the balances in the other ones? And the lack of willingness to report out, you know, one of the biggest changes we've had is that a taxpayer said, I don't understand why we can't get an agenda and a board packet ahead of the meeting. And Bob jumped on that, and it goes out the week before the meeting now.
Excellent, excellent. Well, we appreciate you coming on, giving us an update, what's happening there in Tuscarora Township. And we know you're busy. We'll let you get back to work. Thank you for the report, Janice.
Thank you so much, Randy. I appreciate the opportunity.
Bottom of the hour news break of hour number two. We'll be right back.
This is Michigan News Source, your award-winning news team, covering the big stories that affect you across Michigan and throughout the region.
From Michigan News Source, I'm Cheryl Fritz. Our top story this hour, at least when it comes to neurology treatment and neurosurgery, the deep-seated rivalry between the University of Michigan and Michigan State University is being cast aside to make way for a partnership that both institutions say will boost the medical care they can provide to people in mid-Michigan. The U of M Board of Regents approved a joint operating agreement Thursday with MSU Healthcare to create the NeuroCare.